This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Eric McLean filling in for Wes. Again, tomorrow, Kelly Gramlich will be sitting right there in that chair making her debut here in the basement as well. Wes is on multiple assignments this week, and we'll see him maybe next week, I think. Maybe. See. Who knows? Knock on wood. Assuming we're still employed. That's the deal.
That's the kicker.
Right. That's, I mean, it's the, I'm assuming as if we will be here next week.
Right.
But we'll see. Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky. Have not seen this gentleman in a while. He's got bags under his eyes because he's doing the good thing, man. He's a dad. That's what it's all about, being a pop. Luke Hancock, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Thanksgiving, Happy Holidays, all that stuff. Man, we got a lot of catching up to do. You doing all right?
Merry Christmas, fellas. It's great to be back with you guys. And yes, having a newborn, mornings take a lot longer to get yourself going. But like I told you guys at the break there, we're moving towards a sleep routine. We're not there yet, but we see it out there in the distance. We see the light.
Yeah, I love to hear that, man. Well, some people that may be struggling to see a little bit of light right now is U of L on COVID pause right now, going through it. Anything that you can enlighten us on that situation and where they are?
Wow, that's a broad one there, EMAC. I got to tell you, man, Louisville fans around here are just they're in a tough place. I think they were fired up for this Kentucky game on Wednesday after the WKU loss. They were not fired up, man. The devastation that went on in this state through those tornadoes, the emotion that was behind that WKU game, just a community that wanted to support and uplift down there in Western Kentucky, and they brought it. You know, Louisville walked into a hornet's nest there, and you know, they just weren't prepared for that type of emotion. And these guys haven't played road games in 2 years, and then you go into one that had as much behind it as they did at Diddle and WKU. And they just got punched in the mouth and couldn't get off the mat quick enough. And I thought leading into this Kentucky game, it was a great opportunity for Louisville to kind of right the ship here, especially after what Kentucky did to that UNC team. It was absolutely unbelievable. But this Louisville team needs something. And they need a center that can play. They need a healthy Malik Williams. You look at last season, people are underestimating the year that Jalen Withers had, making the all-freshman team, and the impact that not having your starting five-man had at WKU and will have through the season if he's not ready to go. Now, this seems like a COVID pause that's kind of spread throughout the team, kind of starting with Malik, who didn't play. He was the only guy in that WKU game that didn't play. But just like last year, he may not be the best player on the team, but he's the most important. And for this team to achieve what they want, he's got to be healthy. He's got to be ready to go. They've got some good contributions from some guys, but they need the whole team working well together. I think the slow start this season probably has a lot to do with Chris Mack being out those first six games. I think people just didn't place as much priority on that as they probably should. And I was in that boat as well. You know, they look solid in early games, but some of the come out flat games where they just haven't had the energy and focus, attention to detail in their scouting report, it's shown early this season.
Luke, we try to do accounting. We do it in football. We get to basketball. We're basically a dozen games into the season. We know Duke is really, really good, right? That's a given. After what happened in North Carolina Saturday against Kentucky, Wake's been a pleasant surprise. I think Virginia Tech's really good. NC State can give you, you know, like the Purdue game, and then they can give you the Richmond game. Where would you put Louisville right now in the ACC if I gave you a broad brush, 15 teams in the league? We know Duke's probably the best team. We all know Duke is the best team. Pitt's probably the 15th team. Where is Louisville in this group? 2 through 14, where are they?
Well, you took the easy ones. First and last, I think, are the easiest ones on this list. But Louisville right now is somewhere in the middle. I would think that they're going to be a team that can challenge for the top four by the end of the season. They do have the pieces to the puzzle. They just haven't had any continuity just yet. They need everybody healthy, and they need everybody playing well. Again, Malik Williams hasn't played in 2 years. A lot of guys haven't played road environments in 2 years. This guy's been injured, had a lower leg injury for 2 years. And again, the most important piece to this puzzle. But they've got a lot of talent. They're just trying to figure it out. I think they are a middle-of-the-pack team right now, but they're leaning towards that upper four. And I personally think that they'll kind of turn this thing around. Their defense will start to show. Some of those principles will be a little more sound and a little bit more of the foundation and identity for this team. But I think their offense has been a little stagnant. People are trying to figure out their roles. Who's going to take the big shot at the big moment? Who's the one that brings the team together and kind of gets you over that hump or that adversity moment in the game? They haven't found those guys just yet. And I don't think Chris Mack's voice has been consistent enough, and he sent enough of a message. I mean, there are guys that were five-star McDonald's All-Americans that Chris Mack is trying to send a message to on this team, saying, hey, we need more from you, Sam Williamson. We need more from you, Jalen Withers. And he's mixing around his rotations. He's mixing around his minutes. And every coach in the country has done that, Duke included. You know, they go out and they beat the Zags. They have a huge win against Kentucky. And then they go in their first really tense road environment up there at Ohio State, and they lose. Teams are doing that. Guys are still trying to figure it out. That's Tony Bennett. That's Coach K. That's Chris Mack, and on down the line. So I think they're in the middle, but leaning the right direction right now.
Luke, I want to stay in that kind of accounting mindset here and just ask you who your number two team is. Is it Wake Forest, who's playing really hot right now? Is it a Virginia Tech team? Is it UNC? I know we just saw them take a brutal loss, but you know, who is your number two team in the ACC right now?
Well, I gotta go back to the rules of accounting, because it is right now, right? It's this
That's
second.
Right.
It's not who we think it's going to be. It's
exactly.
not last. This second, you got to give it to Wake Forest. I think what Steve Forbes has done is awesome. His team play hard. His teams play hard for 40 minutes, not 39 minutes, not 30 minutes. They play hard for 40 minutes. They may not execute at a high level for 40 minutes, but those dudes play hard. And I think the surprise of the league right now is Alondez Williams. The last game, he was unbelievable, had some poster dunks. He's physical. He's tough. He's a veteran. They can shoot it. They can break you down off the bounce. He seems like a great leader. You know, there are times when they were up huge in their last game, and he's over there yelling at teammates and weren't getting back on defense and weren't rebounding the right way. Isaiah Musius is that guy where Alondez goes up to him and just yells at him like, hey, dude, we gotta be better than that. We got to go rebound the basketball. But the guy is second in scoring in the conference. He's second in rebounding in the conference. His field goal percentage is top 10. Rebounding on the defensive end is top 10. It probably would be on the offensive end, but he's the one for Wake Forest shooting all the shots. So I've been really impressed with this guy. His running mate is really good in Williamson. So I think this team has some pieces to the puzzle. They're ultra physical, and they play super hard. Right now, I got to give it to them. They're second best team in this league.
All right, Luke, the flip side. Give me the one team so far, as we sit here on near Christmas Eve, that you're perplexed by, that you're like, wow, they've really come out of the gate slow. I think they got the chance to be good. However, I've just not seen it yet, because you've got a couple to pick from, I think, in the ACC.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's tough to choose just one. It's not hard to choose. It's just narrowing it down. You know, I've got two in mind, Virginia Tech and Notre Dame, but Notre Dame, to me, is the team, because these guys have never been to an NCAA tournament. They've got a lot of veterans. They even have the really, you know, young, talented guard in Wesley, the 6'5", ultra-athletic kind of difference maker for that Notre Dame team, or who I thought would be that. You bring in a guy from the Ivy League that was player of the year in that conference. They had to sit out because of COVID last year. And you think, man, these guys might have the pieces to the puzzle. You know, they're 6 or 7 deep, which isn't huge, but Mike Bray doesn't play a really deep lineup. They've got guys that can all pass, shoot, and dribble that seem like they're really high IQ guys, a few high flyers. And, you know, I thought Notre Dame would be much better, but you took out Juwan Durham last year. He was the shot blocker, the presence down there in the paint, not a good one, but, you know, the only one they had. And you bring in a guy like Paul Atkinson, you expect him to be kind of an enforcer that helps these guys realize, hey, you don't want to go your whole career at Notre Dame and not make the NCAA tournament. Pressure's on. And I really thought after the Kentucky game that they would just start to take off. Unbelievable performance, coaching, individual players. It was just an electric atmosphere again. And, you know, you give credit to those atmospheres this year, because it's awesome to have basketball back. It's awesome to feel that energy in the arena. But players, when you go out there and you haven't seen it for a long time, man, it can absolutely punch you in the mouth.
What are your thoughts on North Carolina? Where do they go from here? I mean, do we see this loss galvanize them, bring them together? Do we see it maybe, you know, find some cracks in the team? Where do you think they go, you know, from this point moving forward?
I think so. I think there's too much talent on this roster. It still blows my mind that Hubert Davis came out last week talking about, we don't really do scouting reports. I think of all teams, Kentucky's that team where you need to focus in on scouting reports. You know, if you watch the one shooter on the team, Kellen Grady, the one guy with the dribble penetration, and Xavier Wheeler, and the best rebounder in the country, and Oscar Shigwe, like, those are the pieces you have to focus in on in your scouting report to get it done. But I've been in games like this where you lose, you feel like you're going the right direction, and you get beat up like this. You go watch the film. You basically burn that film, you draw a line in the sand, and you kind of move forward. They have done a good job already through this season of kind of having that players meeting, having that moment where they look at each other in the eye and say, hey, we got to be better than this. And I think they'll have that after this game. You got to have that coming to Jesus moment when you lose by 40 or whatever it was to Kentucky. So it's a crazy time. COVID has mixed up schedules. You know, Carolina is going to be fine. They've got way too much talent. I know people said, well, they didn't know they were even going to play that team. Well, that goes two ways because Kentucky didn't know it either. So they needed to be better. And I think it would have been easy for us to say that's the second best team in this league if they didn't look that way. And I was nudging Joel Berry and shot him a couple texts asking what was going on with his Tar Heels. But it was just – it was a rough performance, and that's really all you can say. But they have done a good job. Again, players meetings and really turning the tide. You can look really rough one week, but with that much talent, you turn around and look great the next. Caleb Love, before this game, I thought was playing his way into first-round pick and some big-time money at the end of this season.
Luke, is Miami the sleeper this year? I mean, they've won five in a row. Nobody seems to talk about them. We'll spend a lot of time on, you know, Florida State, Virginia, and Syracuse, and Notre Dame slow starts, and the potential of North Carolina and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, Miami's one of those kind of teams. If Jim Larranaga can finally have a year in which they stay relatively healthy, do they have the pieces to put the scare into some people?
Well, they definitely got some scores. You know, they're just so thin in the front court. I talked to Coach L at the beginning of the season. He was asking about mixing up his defense. You know, I played for two Italian New Yorkers. They couldn't be more different than Jim Larranaga and Rick Pitino. Stylistically and the way they talk to players and how they handle their teams, it's just totally different. But what I love about Coach Larranaga is he is great at adapting to the roster that he has. And he has some guys that can really score the basketball and more. And McGusty, I think, is third in the conference right now in scoring. He's had some big nights lately. But I think they are a surprise. I don't know how you could not say Wake Forest is a surprise of the league. I didn't expect this kind of performance. And for them to be the second-best team, I would have thought they'd battle to finish in the top half of the league with all the transfers moving in and out. But this is basketball now, boys. This is the transfer portal. This is how quick you can totally revamp your team. I don't know if you'd say this is a great coaching versus what Coach K has done or Roy Williams has done for years and years and Hamilton and all these guys. But when you can turn your roster over like this and you can go out and find talent that really fits what you're doing, like Alondez Williams, and you elevate them to that extent, you can turn teams around in no time. I mean, the offseason will feel like an eternity with the transfer portal.
Well, I know you'd like to talk to us till 10 a.m., but we're not going to do that because you got to go back to diaper duty, my man. So that's part of the deal, but it makes Christmas that much better. And again, happy holidays, man. We look forward to many more conversations as we turn the corner and get into 22.
Happy holidays, fellas. I got my Packer and Durham coffee cup right upstairs. So I'm going to go get me a couple shots of espresso and then get the day rolling. Thanks, guys.
That works, too. But, you know, up there in that Commonwealth, I can tell you that brown water works even faster. That's just me. Always a pleasure, man. We'll talk to you soon. Be good.
Thanks, guys.
Off he goes. Luke Hancock. When we return, we're going up to Bristol. Yeah, Lumberjack Fever.
Oh, yeah.
Lumberjack Fever.
Come on.
It's time for a little True or False with Drew Brooks. All that's coming up. But I got to tell you, we definitely have a great doubleheader, men's basketball, coming up Wednesday. Boston College, Wake Forest at 6 Eastern. But we're featuring the second game. Clemson is in Charlottesville to take on Virginia at John Paul Jones Arena at 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. And, of course, the Tigers have lost 11 consecutive to the Wahoos. Haven't won there since 2008. But we'll have it for you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. right here, ACC Network. All right, coming up next, true or false. Drew Brooks is in control. All that coming up next right here on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Drew makes me so happy. Actually, whoever, it might not be Drew. I'll ask him a second. Whoever plays this music. They have brought so much joy. Mikey C. Mikey C has delivered time and time again.
He does every time. You need something done, if the Lumberjacks are busy, or Laura, or Meg, Chrissy.
Mikey C.
Mikey C gets it done.
The GOAT.
Is he in the radio booth? They get it done. Again, the smart people. That's where we're going. Bristol, Connecticut. That's where we head next. Drew Brooks, what's happening?
It is cold in Connecticut, let me tell you.
Really?
Nice hat, though.
It's a great hat.
Yeah, I get more compliments about this hat than literally anything in my entire life.
Look how blue his eyes are with that hat.
Can the average fan go to ESPN.com and buy that hat?
No, but we can put it on eBay and get into a bidding war.
Oh, businessman.
That's right.
Packer and Durham brought to you by eBay. No, I'm just kidding. We're not. Would this hat go for more than the Mark Packer bobblehead that's currently listed for $100?
True.
Yeah, so true or false, Mac? You've spent $100 on a bobblehead before.
False.
Oh, well, you can have Mark Packer's if you want. Just go to eBay.com.
Or right, you just reach over my shoulder and just take it on the way out.
Put it on eBay yourself. Make some money. Because obviously we're not paying you for this performance. all right. True or false? I'll try to do my best Josh Macri impression. Starting with Duke. Did you know that Duke has lost at least 4 conference games every year since 2014 or 15? So true or false, Duke will lose at least 4 conference games this season.
False.
False in all caps. False. I just haven't seen enough from the rest of the league to deem worthy that on a given night you can beat these guys 4 times.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think they're going 20-0.
Sure.
I mean, somebody's going to get them. Just the nature of the beast. And again, that true road game at Ohio State was an L. But I just need to see more from the rest of the league.
Right. And there's just a gap. I mean, really, right now, there's a gap between Duke and everybody else. So I think it's big time false with these guys playing at a great level, coach figuring out what lineups does he like the best, doing a bunch of different combinations there. I think they're going to be peaking very quickly in ACC play.
Yep.
All right, follow-up question then. An ACC team, true or false, will beat Duke twice or at least twice this season. Obviously, that would include the ACC conference championship.
False.
Yeah, I'm going false, too. If there was a team to do it, probably Carolina.
I don't know. Did you see them Saturday?
I'm just saying. If there were, of all 14 other teams, you would probably think they had the best shot, right?
Did you see them Saturday? I have not seen anyone yet in the league that has given me for an extended period of time that has played quality competition, looked good, and won that I'd say they can beat Duke twice.
Right.
Doesn't mean it can't happen, but as of December the 21st, I haven't seen it yet.
Sure.
Does it mean Virginia, Florida State, Syracuse, Louisville, North Carolina, NC State? Virginia Tech, who plays Duke tomorrow night, could they? I mean, that's the fun part as an ACC basketball fan now moving forward, is that collection of teams I just rattled off, who's going to get hot, right? They all have a potential to. You know, Miami's still a sleeper. Keep talking about those guys. So I just haven't seen enough consistency this side of Durham, North Carolina yet in the conference to be able to have confidence to say, oh, yeah, they can beat Duke twice.
Yeah, I'm going false as well, but with the asterisk, if a team does it, it'll be North Carolina.
Okay.
So false, got it. According to Packers' favorite folks at ESPN FPI, the most interesting bowl matchup that's not a playoff matchup or New Year's Six game is Clemson and Ohio State. Clemson, Iowa State. So we have 10 matchups to choose from. The most interesting bowl game, in your opinion, is Clemson, Iowa State, true or false?
For me, false. To me, NC State, UCLA, I think is intriguing just because you got East Coast, West Coast.
Right.
You got the Pac-12's number one scoring offense against a really, really talented defense. I think NC State has something to prove to try to get the double-digit wins. So does Clemson. I mean, they want to keep that stretch at 11 consecutive, and that will be a motivating factor. And there's been enough naysayers with all the changes with Venables and Elliott. I think the Tigers will be really motivated to Cheez-It Bowl. But the intrigue game to me is North Carolina State and UCLA.
I think that the Clemson game is intriguing just because of all those changes and the fact that we do not have to wait an entire offseason to see it. I can only imagine if that happened post-January and you're like, oh my goodness, is this going to work? Is it not? What's it going to be? And you don't get to see it. So there's definitely intrigue there. But from an on-the-field performance, both teams, Pack, I'm with you. I think that that Holiday Bowl, that's number one for me. So false is the answer to your question.
And if Breece Hall played, again, kind of like the Kenny Pickett maybe story to Kenneth more. Walker, sure. That gives Iowa State some juice. I don't know how they're going to run the football against Clemson. Even with Hall, it would have been tough. And he's a grown man, too. Well, a great player. But again, being selfish as a college football fan is being selfish. Mm-hmm. I want to see the best players play.
Right.
So I think that game lost a little luster from an Iowa State perspective. There's a lot of intrigue for what we do to see what Clemson looks like. But NC State, UCLA, I think it's got some juice to it.
Yeah.
All right, he may not know who Billy Packer is, but true or false, Alondis Williams has been the best player in the ACC so far this season.
I think it's true. I mean, the guy can score out of his mind. He's so consistent, and he gets other people involved. That's what's so fun to see. If you're just a scorer, that's all you do, that's one thing. But, you know, to really be able to use all of your talents like he has, as of right now, if the season stopped today, I think he's player of the year.
So you're not going Bankero with Duke with all the hype, and even though he got off to a great start, been kind of quiet lately. Williams has been hard to beat, man.
Yeah.
And after our interview with him yesterday, I mean, how do you not like that guy?
Right.
He is smooth, cool, good, yeah. Man.
Even more, I mean, more from Duke, Caleb Love. I mean, there's some talent, but I think this guy's standing out number one right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. So true.
Thank you for that. So we have
you set her up for me, Brooks. You're a little.
I was trying, but it's so hard. You know, we make fun of these people on FaceTime, our guests, because it's like left is left, right, or left is right, right is left. But it's more difficult than it appears.
That's true.
True.
All right. Last question. So we have six ACC women's teams in the top 25 in the latest AP poll. True or false, there will be more ACC women's teams in the Final Four than men's teams in the final AP 25 poll?
Oh, man.
False.
That's tough. That's false.
False.
That's really hard to do.
I mean, Louisville and NC State women's basketball, both in the top five this week. Are they both capable of being Final Four teams? Without a doubt. No doubt. But, you know, brackets and, I mean, all that gets goofy. Sometimes, you know, you never know how that plays itself out through a season. The ACC women are loaded, man. They are good and they are deep. And the race is going to be spectacular. The men's side, I do expect there to be at least a couple more ACC teams.
Emerging.
It's hard to believe we're saying this, but it's true. I believe there'll be at least a couple more ACC teams that jump in the top 25 mix as we get into January, into February. So I'm going to say false. There'll be more ACC men's teams in the top 25 than women teams in the Final Four.
Yeah, I'm going false as well. I think there's at least four by the end of the year that figure it out. You know, they get going. Is it a Florida State, such a young team? Is it, you know,
Louisville, Virginia, Louisville that gets Syracuse,
Miami? I mean,
Miami,
you know, what do you see
a lot of teams could be
from these guys that keep going? So that's a tough one, but I'm going false there.
Yep, false. Good questions, though, Brooks. You leave us?
He's gone.
He's done. He's done. He's tapped out.
Proud of you, kid.
Drew Brooks opting out of the true and false segment. Pulls a picket rule.
He opted out.
That's how it works. All right, quick break. We come back. We're going to switch gears on you. You know how much I love the Friday duels on ACC Network.
Come on.
The number five team in the country. That is NC State. Coach Pack. He is coming up, and man, they got a big showdown coming up. We will discuss it next, right here. Packer and Durham on the ACC Network.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday.
It's still going,
844 say ACCN. All right, we've talked some football, we talked some basketball. Drew Brooks.
Time to get some real man
stuff.
Now
we're going wrestling. Mm-hmm. NC State, we got four teams, by the way, in the ACC, ranked in the top 21, all right, in wrestling. Now, you know that I jumped on the bandwagon on the Friday night duels, and that's now become not only a staple on ACC Network, but on this show. And the Wolfpack, once again, Coach Pat's got it rocking and rolling. Pack's number five in the country, and they're getting ready to have a showdown against number one Iowa.
Come on.
Pat, first of all, a pleasure having you on the show. I hope life's treating you great and all that good stuff. Happy holidays, and man, excited to see how your boys are going to handle Iowa coming up. That's going to be a blast.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. Definitely. Yesterday was a lot of good energy. Got to wrestle, you know, one of the top teams in the country, Missouri. At dual meet was a lot of good energy in there. Guys stepped up, got a good win. And then obviously task at hand, we, you know, going into this, we wanted to have an opportunity to wrestle number one team in the country. And we get our shake at that here tonight. So it should be pretty exciting for this program.
Coach, just how difficult is it playing, you know, these top-tier programs back-to-back and just the mindset that you guys have to have, you know, going into this match?
Yeah, there's a lot of mental side of things, you know, in the sport of wrestling. You got to get through your first opponent, you know, individually, that was big. And then as a team, you know, we're not in a tournament setting. We're in a dual meet setting. So it's a little bit different. And this was a team event this weekend. And, you know, our guys are pretty tight. So it was a lot of good energy, guys. You know, plus we're not at home. So you got to kind of get self-motivated. And we had that going for us. And the same thing's got to happen tonight. Guys got to be motivated, pick each other up. If someone takes a loss, it's not supposed to. We had that, you know, yesterday against Missouri. First match of the night was an upset, you know, against us, and our guys stepped up, supported each other. And so, yeah, it's not an easy task, but, you know, this team's up for it. We got a lot of good experience here, so we're excited.
So what did you learn about knocking off number 10 Missouri? Because that was a terrific W, but now tonight's number one. But what did you learn about your boys with that W?
You know, and like any other team and any other sport, you know, winners step up and bigger competition. I saw that out of, you know, we had a lot of freshmen win big matches yesterday. One of our freshmen beat a defending world champ who won junior worlds this offseason, was an All-American last year. That was big. Isaac Trumbull getting that win. True freshman Ed Scott beat a top 10 guy as well. So, you know, when we were in the recruiting process, we got some higher level recruits now, and you're starting to see when they get here, you know, they're winning right away. And, you know, we wrestled that last week, and our performance was good. It wasn't great, and we knew we had to step our game up this weekend when we were wrestling the teams we were, and our guys did that. So I think it speaks to the level that our guys are at and willing to step their game up for the challenges that lie ahead when we wrestle in better competition.
Coach, you talk about the recruits and getting those high-level guys. How impactful is being in an event like this on such a national scale, you know, for you guys in recruiting, for brand awareness, for just overall respect in going against top-tier competition?
It's been huge. You know, the ACC network itself has stepped up its game, which is helping us in our sport. Those Friday night duels obviously are huge. Having the commentator, Rock Harrison, the branding and everything that we've been doing is helping the ACC. I think we see that, you know, you talked about it with the rankings, with the other teams that are involved now. And as a conference, we're growing. As a program, we're trying to do the same thing and make that next jump to win a national title. Tonight will, you know, obviously let us know where we stand as far as the gains that we made, the things we need to work on. So it's helped tremendously, and our recruiting here, our staff's done a phenomenal job. I think this past year, we should have another top three recruiting class back to back. So it's helping our program tremendously, and we're continuing to build here in Raleigh.
How's my man Jacob Camacho doing? I mean, he seems like he's been there 100 years. I can't believe he's only a sophomore. Is he just wearing people out again?
Right? Yeah, he's doing a good job. You know, he's got a big task tonight. He's going to get a chance to wrestle 3-time national champ Spencer Lee from Iowa, and that's going to be a match. He's going to have to elevate his game. You know, the kid's obviously the best in the country, pound for pound, probably. So anytime you have an opportunity for that, you got to be ready to go. You got to take advantage of that, and it'll be a good test for him to see where he's at mentally and physically. So that's what we've been training for. All these guys all along, you want to wrestle the best guys in the country, and getting a chance to do that tonight is real exciting. It was hard to sleep last night knowing we get this opportunity.
That's right. And we talk about, you know, the players all the time, but hearing you right there, hard to sleep. I mean, what is this like for the coaching staff? I mean, all this preparation, and then you get this moment. You're going against, or you're helping your guy coach him up against a 3-time national champion. What is that like for you guys as coaches?
It's exciting. I mean, it's what we wake up early for every morning, training, you know, like any other sport in any other industry. You put so much time and energy into your program, your guys. You want to see them succeed. And as a coach, you know, it's those opportunities are far and few between to go wrestle the number one team in the country. So when you get the chance to do it, you know, you got to take advantage of it and kind of go through the process and get your guys ready. Started already this morning, making sure we're eating breakfast. We got to weigh in here at 11 o'clock, so we'll head over there for weigh-ins and then, you know, get guys rested up and bring out our A game tonight.
Boy, it would seem to me, though, taking on number 10 Missouri yesterday, number 1 Iowa tonight, you got four teams in the ACC ranked in the top 21. You're number 5, Virginia Tech's 8, North Carolina Pitt are 20-21 respectively. Coach, this can only help you, it seems like to me, from a mental standpoint, a physical standpoint. You find out exactly where you stand tonight. But as far as the conference goes, man, this experience, you can't put a price tag on.
No, definitely. You know, it, again, wrestling the best teams in the country only elevate your game. And it does. It checks you where you're at as an individual and as a team. And we got a lot of time left in the season. So this is one perfect timing for us to kind of see where things play out and evaluate what we need to get better at and things that we already know we're good at. And getting that chance to do that, you know, it will prepare us for the ACC duels, because the conference definitely, you go back-to-back with some of the teams that we're going to wrestle. I mean, it's going to be a lot like what we just saw against Missouri. You got to be all those little tight matches you got to win. You have any upsets like that, it could be big and into the dual meet factors.
When 8 of your 10, you know, wrestlers are nationally ranked and you have this, you know, great conference matchups coming up, I mean, what is practice like? I'm thinking back to, you know, some of my Clemson days. We have the number 1 defense we're going against. It's just a war. I mean, are those guys beating each other up? You got to separate it. What does that look like in regards to, you know, well, really how hard you can go in practice?
It's funny you said that. I had, you know, last week in practice, we had two brothers, literally, that they're one's a freshman, one's a senior. It got a little intense. let's just say people had to step in there and separate the two. And luckily, it was a family thing, so it wasn't anything personal, something probably that they grew up doing. But it just comes with the territory. Our practice are pretty, they're pretty intense. Our guys are very competitive. So if someone's having an off day, you know, they're going to let you know it. And of course, the guys that are in our room, maybe they'll take advantage. You know, if you get a guy like Trent who's having a bad day in the practice room and he's usually beating up on guys day to day, they're going to want to take advantage of his bad day. So you see a lot of that and the competitiveness in our program. Guys, they won't take a back seat to anybody, and that's exactly what we got to do tonight. You know, we got to show up and be ready to be tested and not take a back seat to anything that happens out there in the match.
Coach, something tells me a wrestling family with brothers getting into it. When you call mom and dad and say, listen, I got to get you up to speed, man. Your kids are just, I can't control these guys. They're probably going, I've been there, done that. Coach, tag, you're it. You figured it out, right?
Yeah, well, it's funny because the dad was like, who won? I said, well, unfortunately, they both got black eyes. So, yeah, it was pretty funny, but you know, they're good kids and it was nothing personal, so it comes with the territory.
All right, so I mentioned my man Camacho, so give me a couple other highlight matches tonight for folks that are dialed into this, because when number one's playing number five, and Eric just mentioned 8 of your 10 wrestlers are nationally ranked, there's great talent on the mat tonight. So give me a couple other matches tonight keep an eye on.
I think, you know, 57 is going to be a key match for us. You got a freshman for us and a returning All-American for Iowa, and that's a match. You know, we got to be ready to go and show up and compete hard. And he had a big win coming off a lot of momentum from yesterday, and confidence is high. I like, you know, three matches that are going to be ones to watch. I think 74, 84, and 97, the Heidi brothers, they're going to bring their A game, and they're going to wrestle really hard. And those are two matches that we should be in the mix for there. And, you know, 197 coming off a big win, beating a kid that was the 4th-ranked kid in the country. And, I think we're going up against another top-ranked guy. We have the ability to win those three matches right there. And to be in the Zoom meet, you know, you got to win those close bouts right now. And that's what it's going to come down to. We're going to have to get an upset or two. Guys know it. You know, we're on paper, obviously, we're not favored. And when you're wrestling a team like that, I'm sure they're going to come after us, and guys got to respond, and we got to get an upset or two in the school meet. So I think we're up for the challenge and know what's at stake.
Coach, you know what? I think it almost should be a prerequisite that your team comes out with black eyes. I would think that if you had a wrestling team and it was time for the match and your boys come walking through the tunnel and everybody's got a black eye, if I'm the other guy, I'm like, man, I'll tell you what, boys, you better bring your lunch money tonight, because this is no joke.
Well,
you're wrestling a bunch of dudes with black eyes.
Well, we got Hayden actually – slit his finger open pretty good. He caught it on a guy's tooth. It went right under his nail, and it cut it pretty deep. Man. And luckily, our trainer was able to glue it. But it was pretty deep. You know, it comes with the territory of the sport. It's pretty physical out there, and you know, everything's controlled, obviously. But you know, it comes down every now and then, and you get those little injuries in there.
Well, it's great seeing you again, and I know your team's loaded. We look forward not only to the ACC duels, but number one and number five tonight's about as good as it gets. And wish you a great holiday and best of luck tonight. Wish you the best, man.
Appreciate it. Yeah, and hopefully, you know, everyone's talking about it. We're trying to get you maybe on one of the Friday night duels. We could get the show down there for the day. So
Dude. That's
the big talk right now in the wrestling community. Hopefully we can make that happen.
He's all in,
Coach,
man.
You know, if it were up to me, I'd snap a finger and we'd be in Raleigh letting it rip, having a good time. I hope we can pull it off because we've been talking about it for a long time. And, again, all the suits got to make that decision. But, man, we'd love to be there.
We'll be laying out the red carpet for you if that happens.
Wish you, man. That sounds like a deal there. I'm all in it. Listen, good luck tonight, man. Always fun. Talk to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You got it. Pat Popolizio, great coach, great program. NC State, number five in the country, taking on number one Iowa tonight.
It's huge. Massive.
I tell you.
Anytime you play number one, I mean, let's go.
When I was at school at Clemson 100 years ago, you did not want to mess with the wrestling team. Clemson football was great. William Perry and all those guys, national champs in 81. But you did not want to mess with the wrestling
right.
team. And I think I might have told this story before. I was walking to class one morning. Believe it or not, I went to class. And there was a wrestler that was screaming at a frat guy who was in one of the third floor. And he was yelling at him. And the wrestler guys were crazy back then. And he was yelling at this frat guy. And he said, "Hey, is this your bike?" The guy goes, "Yeah, what's it going to do?" And I'm standing on books, like, you know, what is this all about? And there's a bunch of people watching. He goes, "This is your bike right here?" "Yeah, it's my bike. What are you going to do about it?" He goes, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do about it." He grabbed the guy's bike. He climbed up the basketball pole. And he dunked the bike in the basket. And I went, "Boy, if that guy from the fraternity, from the SAEs, comes down out of that frat house, he may never be found again." The wrestler put his bike in the basket. I said, no, you don't want to mess with that guy.
Did you ever figure out why? Like, what? Was he parked in front of his car? Like, what was the, why is he messing with the bike?
I have no idea. I didn't want to know. Yeah. I just walked right to class.
Yeah, seemed
like a mess. When the wrestler dunked, put his bike, climbed the pole with the bike in his hand, and just stuck it right in the rim.
Different cats, man.
Different cats. Different breed, but I love watching them, man. They're great. All right, quick break. We come back. Final segment of the show, 5:26. That is the game plan. Eric Mackling in the basement. I'm Mark Packer. It's Packer and Durham right here on the ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Tonight, right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app, North Carolina hosts Appalachian State at the Dean E. Smith Center. That's 7 Eastern. Heels looking, of course, to bounce back after a tough loss to Kentucky over the weekend. But I think they'll be okay tonight. You got that game right here. North Carolina, right here on ACC Network.
Who's calling that game?
I'd be Wes Durham.
Hey, come on, Wes.
Wes Durham is thawed out from Fargo, and he is
maybe,
good to go.
Maybe.
I'm assuming.
It's pretty cold.
Been about 4 days ago. It's about 4 days to freeze out. Thaw out from Fargo.
Right.
All right, here is your hoop schedule for tonight. We'll start with the men. We just gave you the promo for North Carolina. Pittsburgh's got Jacksonville this afternoon.
Should be a dub.
You think so. But, you know, Pitts, you're coming off a big win against St. John's in the Garden. That was nice. NC State needs to find a W. They've had back-to-back losses in non-conference games. Wright State's up next for them tonight. Georgia Tech's got Georgia State at 9 p.m. tonight. As you know, Syracuse, Florida State, those games not happening due to COVID issues.
What are you thinking? Sweep?
I would hope that the ACC, which has certainly struggled, let's be honest, I would hope that's a 4-0 night for the ACC.
Chester disagrees with you.
Chester's
throwing up thinking about it.
No, he's not throwing up. He's going to – well, maybe he is. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. He's all right. He always gets – like the last segment, Chester starts showing signs of life like, okay, you guys done talking sports.
Let's go chase some squirrels.
Yeah, go chase some squirrels out here outside. So, all right, that's the men's schedule. Here's the ladies' schedule. Bunch of ranked teams. Again, 6 ACC women's teams ranked in the top 25. A number of them are playing tonight. Sacred Heart, BC. I'll tell you what, the Eagles, tough loss to North Carolina. Had a big double-digit lead fourth quarter, could not hold on. North Carolina off to a 10-0 start. Duke, 16th in the country, coming off the tough loss to South Carolina. They've got Charleston Southern at noon. BU, Georgia Tech. Jackets playing good basketball, 17th in the country. Told you about North Carolina, their 10-0 start. Courtney Banghart's got it rocking. They got Alabama State and Clemson and Dayton at 3:30. The Tigers, by the way, lost last night to a really talented, ranked LSU club. So that's what's going on with the ladies.
So how about there? Sweep? One or two?
I worry about Clemson.
Yeah.
I always worry about Clemson.
Yeah, they're struggling.
They're having a tough year. They better sweep because Kelly Gramlich's here tomorrow.
It would make her day much easier.
She knows ACC women's hoops.
Better get ready.
So she...
pro of pros.
Well, she's going to get fed tonight here at the Packer House as she takes over the Eric McLean suite.
That's right. Come
you,
on.
Have you checked out to the front?
Yeah, I'm going to strip my bed, get it all ready. You know me, man.
I know. I get it right. Military background. I get it right.
But Miss P, man, she's excited.
Yeah, Miss P.
She's hosting a plethora
of
folks.
I told you. She loves to be the hostess with the mostest.
That's right. That's
so right. Kelly Gramlich's rolling in here. She'll do a radio show and zip up the Dixie Highway up 85 and make the quick exit, find her way back here.
Over under, how many construction sites will she see?
4,000. I'm telling you why.
It's never not under construction.
It was under construction when I was going to school,
yeah.
Driving from my hometown of Winston-Salem. And you'd zip through Charlotte, everything would be great. By the time you got down through South Carolina, Gaffney, the Peachoid, and all that stuff,
right.
Man, it was ridiculous. You'd get from the Peachoid to Greenville, and it was under construction 40 years ago.
It's over.
And now, I don't know what they're doing in South Carolina.
Yeah. Mm, goodness. How about your – give me your favorite bowl game that you're looking forward to. NC State, UCLA?
Oh, for the ACC, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hold on a second. Let me make sure my dog's going to be alive.
He's doing it. He's doing
Chester,
it.
Chester, you all right back here? Huh?
He said, yeah, Dad.
Folks at Comcast are worried. They're like, man, I just turned on the show for the first time, and this one dude's dog is over there coughing up fur balls. What's that show all about?
Fuller's getting up. They know.
Yeah, they know. It's about time
to
roll.
It's bow time, man.
Bowl-wise, yeah, NC State, UCLA, I think, is the most intriguing to me for the ACC. I wish Pickett was playing for Pitt, and I wish Walker was playing for Michigan State because that would have been a fun game to watch, just a contrast of styles. And, again, Pat Narduzzi will be on with us tomorrow. And given Pat's days at Michigan State, given the fact that Pitt's never beaten Sparty, 0-6-1 all time, there's some intrigue there. Pitt trying to win 12 games for the first time since 76 when he won the national championship. Mm-hmm. But NC State going for the double digits is important. I think Clemson trying to continue. 10 wins or more for 11 consecutive years.
Yeah,
you mentioned about their incentive, given the fact that people are already talking about, Venables is gone, Elliott's gone.
Underdogs.
Dabo's
underdogs.
In trouble, all that nonsense. I think they'll rally around all that stuff.
Yeah.
The fact that Hall's not going for Iowa State helps Clemson's situation. I wish he were playing too.
Yeah.
But, you know, North Carolina, South Carolina, I think anytime they get together, regardless of sport, the Mayonnaise Bowl here in Charlotte will be intriguing. I just hope the ACC shows up. I mean, last year was a really disappointing year. Last year was a weird year with COVID.
Right.
But it was a really strange year given the Ofer status in bowl games. I do not expect that to happen. 10 teams in the bowls. If the conference can have a winning mark at the end of the day, that would be a successful bowl season.
Right. And you know, you have to win the G5 games, right? Anytime you're matching up there, you have to take care of business. But then when you go out of conference as well and you're playing the SEC, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12, you've got to get it going. You've got to fly that flag because this is what we're going to talk about for the next 4 months when the offseason comes, what happened, who took care of business here. And it's just so much momentum. I think the biggest key for the Virginias, the Miamis, the Virginia Techs, you have these new coaching staffs. Use that opportunity to audition. As a player, this is a great opportunity. You talk about being motivated. You talk about wanting to play. This is a great shot here for these coaches to look at their staff and say, this guy plays really hard. And they're going to look at the entire season. I'm not saying they're going to look at one game, but when you see it with your eyes, it's your team, it makes you feel a little better going into 22.
And I think, too, if you're Pittsburgh, you know, you got 11 wins, you're the ACC champs. Are you satisfied?
Right.
Let's go get one more.
That's right.
If you're Wake Forest, hey, you're bummed out losing the ACC championship. But you know what? Double-figure wins, going to go play an SEC team, a team you beat a couple of years ago here in Charlotte. Go finish on a positive note. If you're NC State and Clemson, hey, let's get to double digit. There's right. a lot of incentive for the upper third of the conference.
Yes.
And then there's the momentum blocks. I mean, like I said, if you're North Carolina, 6-6, nobody expected these guys to be 6-6. There is incentive to end up plus 500, right, in that game. Miami, you got a quarterback, you got a new coach. You talk about Virginia Tech. There's a lot of interesting storylines for the ACC in the postseason and how you can spur that on to spring football.
What quarterback has the biggest bowl game? TVD?
Brennan? How do you say TVD? Hartman? I mean, TVD's going to sling it, man, and it's Washington State. They didn't play any defense this year. I think if you're TVD, new coach, want to impress.
Yeah. Andrew Brooks said put all your money on DJU.
Well, you know, he should know.
He's good at it.
He should know. Great job by everybody back in Bristol. Man, enjoyed having you in the house a couple days, man. It's fun. Absolutely. Kelly Gramlich back here tomorrow, makes her debut in the basement. But for Laura and Lumberjacks, back row, everybody, awesome. Folks, enjoy your day. We're back here tomorrow, 7 sharp, for another edition of Packer and Durham.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.